Okay, from what I understand, that we left off in Daf Yudbeis Amud Aleph. So it's towards the top of the page. That's 7 or 8 lines up from the top. Beginning with the two Dashim years ago. Backpedaling for a moment, while the Gemara is about to embark on a new discussion, the Mishnah spoke about whether giving somebody that or amazing, so you're giving somebody a shashich or giving it every time a document of freedom, is that intrinsically considered to be a chos, or that could be possibly a chov? Is that something that's absolutely automatically beneficial to the person, or is that something that's potentially detrimental? What's the difference? The difference is as follows: is that we have a rule called zoch in the yadim shlo b'chanav. That I can do something beneficial for you without your authorization, but I cannot do something that's detrimental for you without your authorization. Okay, so give shit or not, that becomes a loaded question. What's the issue? The issue is it really beneficial for the evidence to be free? So at first glance, it sounds awesome. Who wants to be an evidence? Possibly the downside of being free. The question is, well, that's so simple. Give me a downside that calls about that he's in Eved, he's being supported, he's being fed very, very well by his master. The minute that he becomes free, he's got to fend for himself. So it's not clear whether the freedom per se is automatically something that's beneficial. So part of this discussion, the Tanoim threw a little bit of a curveball at us and said, well, wait a second. Said, maybe it's still beneficial to be freed, because who said that he was in Eved that he was getting supported? Who said that the master is obligated to feed him? Food. What is the din in terms of pure didimominus? Is a master, is an adon, absolutely required to provide for food for his eved kenani? So it's interesting that the Rambam uses this gemara as a springboard for discussing that even though there may be certain intricate didimominus halachas that govern the relation between adon and eved, the Rambam writes, this is all not supposed to be taken seriously, the Rambam writes, we're not supposed to even think of acting in such a manner. Rambam says that even though the halacha may be that the adon technically doesn't have to even be the eved, says the Rambam, anybody who has the meat of rachamim, and the Rambam goes on, gives home musa shmus and says, if you're a descendant of Avinu and you have meat of rachamim compassion, don't be a fool. Don't think that I'm going to work my eved to the bone and then tell him to go walk the streets to collect food. Well, the Rambam says that's clearly a terrible, terrible non-Jewish approach to caring for somebody. But right now we're putting the musra aside. We want to discuss the absolute pure didimominus. Is the master really obligated to feed the eved? So that the Gemara begins Shmas Mina. We can derive from here Yachal Harav Loma LeEved Asay Bivieni Zoncha, because the Mishnah said that in theory the Adam doesn't have to feed the eved. So you see from here that a master can say to an eved, I say me work for me, and I'm not going to feed you. It says, no, no. The Mishnah that implies that the master can make such a statement is very, very limited. The Amalei, say my siyadecha l'mazon osecha. It doesn't mean that the master can demand, work for me, I'm going to take all your pay, and you go fend for yourself. No, what it means is, I make a deal with the Eved. I say to him, listen, theoretically, you should be working for me, and I should be supporting you, but I'll let you go on your own. You provide for yourself, you make whatever money you want, and you keep the money. So maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. It says, well, really, the Kafasaga B'isha, that's true, that when the Mishnah says that you can make such a deal with your Rebbe, so why can't you make such a deal with your wife also? The Amalot, you might say, Daech, I'm doing a Sayich. Isha, am I alone? The starting point is that a husband is supposed to support his wife. The starting point is is going to go to the husband, but he says, "All right, listen, you buy it. Why can't he do that by a wife?" And the Mishnah says explicitly there is a split. So says the Gemara, "No, Isha b'dlo safka." The reason why the Mishnah says you can't make such a deal with your wife is because she's not making enough money. She's infamous alone, but she has a really good job and she's able to support herself well. You want to make that arrangement, though, so there's a day you can do whatever you want. But if she's not making enough money, then you can't do that. So economic or something. So wait a second, so we're back to square one. So by an Eved also, if the Eved is not making enough money, how can I make that deal with the Eved? So it's clear for the Mishnah that my wife, I have to support no matter what. And the Eved, I have certain, a leeway. Why is that so? If the Eved's hungry, the Eved doesn't have enough money to support himself, so how can I make such a deal with him? So says the Gemara, Avdin Nenom Crazy Lo Shavi Lamar Lamar Selim Abitvei. An Eved that's literally not worth the bread of his stomach. He can't feed himself. He can't provide enough salary. He can't provide enough Maisi Adayim to support himself. What does his master want? What kind of Eved is that? So when a person has an Eved, so the goal is he's going to try to make a little bit of money from the Eved. If he ends up having to pay the Eved's bills and the Eved can't work, so that's not a very good business venture. Go back to square one. I'm still not sure. Can an Adam say to the Eved Kenani that I will insist that you work for me, but I'm not going to support you? Tashma, we're going to the Braisa. Eved should go to Arim. Good luck for these Adam. He buys himself an Eved, and the Eved goes out and kills somebody with Shogeg. So now the Eved ends up in the Ir Mikla. So what's he going to do for the Adam? So Ein Rabba Chayv Uzram. So the master is not obligated to feed him. Yeah, the master's living 100 miles away, and he's got his Eved stuck under lock and key now in the Ir Mikla until the death of the Kohen Gadol. So the master says, listen, go fend for yourself. I'm not mechuyev to support you. For not only is the master not required to support him, El Shemaisi Yadav L'Rabbo. Whatever couple of pennies, whatever little small jobs that the Eved could find in the Ir Mikla, so that money, that salary is going to go to the master. So Shemami, now we derive from here, Yachal Rav Loimel Eved and Sebivini Zanchal. Here the Bryce is giving us an example that the master is making the salary of the Eved, he's profiting from the Eved, and he's not supporting him. The one says, no, this is not a good proof. This is talking about a very unique case. The Avalot Seh Maisi Adechem Zanchal, like we said before. This is when the master said to the Eved, you feed yourself and you work for yourself. Says, that's the case. What does the Braisa mean? The Braisa says, the Eved works, the money goes to the master. And what do you mean the money goes to the master? We just got finished saying that if the Adon is getting the salary, then he must support his Eved. And the Braisa doesn't make any sense. Says the Gemara, no. What it means is as follows. If I want to enter into a relationship with my Eved and say, you do your little small jobs, and you whatever salary you bring in, support yourself, I'm not going to bother you. But then Eved's a little bit more talented than we thought. He brings in a good salary. And now his salary is way above what his needs are, what his expenses are. So then that extra money goes back to the other. That's what the Bryce meant. So the bottom line is, can a master tell his Eved, you work and I'm going to profit all your money? No, that's ridiculous. If he's working and I want to get that money, I have to help support him a little bit. But if I do enter into a relationship with him and he keeps his money and he supports himself, if there's any excess, then I get the money. Says the Gemara, Hadafa Pshita. The Gemara says, of course, I get the extra money. He's my Eved. Bottom line is, the Eved's happy. He's being well fed by himself. He's making a good job. So, of course, whatever profits I should get. Says the Gemara, Amal the Tame, I would have said, Kaven the Chileis, Leila Yoevle, Kisle Nami, Lolishkomune. If the Eved wouldn't make the extra money, so the master wouldn't make the extra profit. So if there is extra money around, let the Eved keep it. You never know. Maybe next week he won't be making such a good job. Next week he won't be able to find a source of income. So Kamash Balan's not true. Bottom line is that anything above and beyond the expenses, the master gets to keep. So now the Gemara just questions this Braisa. It was a very strange case. Mashallah or Mikla. If we're trying to teach us the basic halachas about what the master is obligated to do to the Eved, why give such a bizarre scenario of the Eved that killed somebody with Shogeg and went to Ir Mikla? I would have thought as follows. The pasuk says in Sefer Devarim that when a person runs to Ir Mikla, you have to have them run there to stay alive. That's the goal of sending him to the Ir Mikla. I would think Bachai has the connotation. I have to make sure my Eved who ran to the Amikla is really, really well taken care of. I can't start counting pennies and saying, well, you made $20 extra this week, hand it over. I should give him a revach. I should let him keep the extra money. Kamash balon, it's not true. So the bottom line is, we're still not sure. We don't know. Does the master have a right to make that statement to an Eved? You work for me, and I'm not going to support you. So he asks the Gemara, Bahamid Tani Seifa, but we learned in the end of that Braisa, Aval Isha Shadolsa La'ari Miklot, Baila Chayab M'zeroseha. The Braisa says that if a woman, a married woman, killed Bishogeg, so then the husband is obligated to support the woman. B'chlal D'la Omala, that obviously he didn't make an arrangement with her before, If he arranged with her before, so why is he obligated? Will be the safe at lo amala, reisha namid lo amala. That at the end of the Brice is talking about there was no arrangement made, and still the master profits whatever salary the Evan makes. So then it's true by an Isha, it should be true by a woman, and it should be true by an Evan. La'olam da amale, says no. That la'olam, a master cannot, it's unfair for the master to say to the Evan, work, and I'm going to pocket all your salary. It can't be. The Isha with la'safka, that we're talking about a situation where I made an arrangement, I entered into an agreement, but the woman is just not making enough money. So if the woman's not making enough money, I have to fill it in. I have to supplement whatever needs that she has. Hamid itali seifa, but the end of the Brisa says, "Im amalat zima seyadachim zonasayich rasha imuchal the reshid lo amala." But the Gemara says that it can't be that the Brisa is talking about that he made this arrangement, because the end of the Brisa adds that as a condition, implying that the beginning of the Brisa is talking about there was no condition made, there was no tonight that was made, and he could still pocket the money. So the Gemara says, "No hachi kama." You have to read into the Brisa a little bit better. If she is making enough money, then he can make that arrangement with her. What's the shot? Why can't he? She's happy. She's making a fortune. She's got a better job than he does. She ended up near Miklot. She's making a killing in the Miklot. Pardon me. She's making that was not planned. She's making a good job in the Miklot. So what's the problem? I would think, your wife's sitting around the Yer Miklot, and what kind of job could she possibly get in the Yer Miklot? Nobody knows her. So she's got to start walking around, setting her resume out. So that's like a breach of tzniyus. When she's in her own hometown, she's in her own on her own turf, so she easily get a job. She's in the Yer Miklot, she's going to have to go run around advertising her skills. I would think that you shouldn't do that to her. Kamash Balon, she shouldn't have gotten the Yer Miklot in the first place. So with all the docetos, their absolute resolution is, we still don't know. We're not sure. Bottom line is, can a master tell his Eved, I insist that you work for me, you're my Eved, you work for me, what about your parnasa? That's your problem, not my problem. Can a master insist that or not? So, leim ha-kitaroi. The Gemara says, maybe this is a machlekes ha-taroi. M'shuvna gamliel omer, yochol ha-Eved lomu l'rabba b'shnei batzores. An Eved can turn to his master in a year of drought, there's not enough food, and he can say to the master as follows, O parnaseini, you have to support me, offering me. So here, all of a sudden, the evidence, the chutzpah, the evidence turns to the master and says, it's a tough year, it's hard for the amount of food in the house, and then if you can't support me, then you must free me. The chacham omer, the chacham say no. Harishus b'yad rabo. The chacham say no. The master say, there's no food. What kind of claim is that? Just because there's no food, you insist on your freedom. So my love, what are they arguing about? The chacham iflagi. The mar sabar yachol, umar sabar eno yachol. It must be, this is the claim, that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is saying that the work of the Eved Kenani is contingent upon getting fed. If the Eved Kenani is not being fed, he's not working. And he can turn to the master and say, I want to be freed. And the Chum say, the work of the Eved Kenani is not contingent upon anything. If he's your Eved Kenani, he has to work for you. For Tizvara, the Gemara says, really? That's really the pshat. Hi, O Parnaseni, O Tzieni Lecherus. Why does the Eved have a claim, free me? What the Eved should say to the master is, either feed me or I'm going out to work for myself. Where does he have the audacity to say, free me? He's an Eved Kenani, he belongs to the master. So he can discuss whether his work's going to go to the master. But where does he get a claim to say to free me? The old Maishnab Mishneh Batzoris. And the other problem we have with this Braisa, is that why does the Braisa talk about a year of a drought? What does that do with droughts? This is an age-old question. Can a master insist that the Eved work without getting fed? Well, the answer is this Braisa has nothing to do with that topic. It's talking about that the condition was made, the agreement was made, that the Eved's on his own. The Eved's going to make his own salary, the Eved's going to feed himself. The problem is, now a drought comes, and Nebuch, there's not enough food. So now what? So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a new spar. O par b'seini o tiyani l'cheres. The Eved can turn to the master and say, listen, under normal circumstances, we made an agreement. We made a condition. I'm going to support myself. Tachmas, there's no food. So you have to free me. Why do you have to free me? Right now, says the Eved, there's no food. I don't have a parnasa. I don't have any source of income. The only way for me to feed myself is to collect tzedakah. The Eved Kenani says to the master, no one's giving me tzedakah because I'm only an Eved Kenani. People are not treating me properly. So you as a master have to free me in order to enable me to be able to collect tzedakah. What kind of claim is that? The same nice balabatim will give you. They'll give money to the free people. They'll give money to the avadim also. What kind of mishigas is that? The master says to the avid, I have to free you in order to collect tzedakah. Go around shul and go collect tzedakah. They'll be nice to you also. So at the end of the day, we still do not have a resolution. What is the din under normal circumstances? Leaving out drought, so leaving out a miklot, regular normal case. Can a master insist that the eved work and not get fed or not? So the Gemara now switches to another application of the Shaila. You'll have three lines at the bottom. Toshma the Amarav. Hamakdish Yidei Avdo. A person owns an eved kenani, and he declares that all the work, all the ma'aseh yadayim, all the proceeds of that eved are now hekdesh l'shamayim. That's a big problem. Because once something is hekdesh l'shamayim, then you can't use it. What's he supposed to do this Eved? Any work that he produces with his hands goes straight to the base of Mikdash. So what's he supposed to eat? So comes the Gemara and says, Amakdish the Avdo, also Eved, Lova the Ochel. So we tell the Eved as follows. Go borrow money from somebody. That's not his work of his hands. So that money's not going to be Hekdish. Borrow money and use that money to support yourself. So first of all, get yourself food. That's number one. We say to listen, you don't have to starve because your Adon's Meshuggah and he's Makdish, you're dying. You don't have to starve. So borrow money first and eat, enjoy yourself, and then go back to work, upareya, and then pay back your loans. So there's an obvious problem here. Anytime he goes back to work, all those proceeds are going to go straight to the base of Mikdash. So how is this going to solve the problems? So you have to wait till on the base so the Gemara just fills in the gap on this. But the bottom line is that the master clearly had the koach, he had the ability to be makdish the hands of the Eved, even though he's not feeding the Eved. We're talking about an Eved who is not being supported by the master. Proof positive. We told him to go borrow money to support himself. So the master was able to be makdish, the hands, the work of the Eved, even though he's not supporting the Eved. As a general rule, I can only be makdish, something that I have control over, something that I own. So if this statement of the Rav is permitting the master to be makdish, the work of the Eved's hands, even though the Eved is not being supported, you see from here a proof that a master can say to the Eved, "Asei mi be'eni zoncha, you work, and I'm not supporting you." No, well, the Bryce is saying that the Eved, that at this point, we're going to backpedal in a moment, but at this point, it sounds like the Eved is starving, and we're telling the Eved, "Listen, we'll give you an eitzah, go borrow money to support yourself." So it says the Gemara, "Shma min a yochel rav lomel Eved, asei mi be'eni zoncha." It's the Gemara, the Ma'alam is Ono. So you say correctly, no. The master is actually supporting the Eved. He is feeding the Eved. Yes, the Gemara, if the master is feeding the Eved, Lamai Loiva the Eichel. So why is the Eved crying? He's got to borrow money to feed himself. He's got to get a check from the master every day. What's the problem? Says the Gemara, Hadofa. The Eved wants the extra treats. The master sending him basic food. He wants ice cream. He wants a slice of pizza. He wants other things. So if he wants the extra food, then he's got to come up with a stunt. He's got to go borrow and pay back at a kunz and open a chaps. So that's my way to say it. If the Eved's needs are being taken care of, so why are we permitting him to play this game with the Beis Hamikdash? This is a kunz. This is a circumvention of Hekdash. We're letting him borrow money and then work and he's going to redeem and send money. Whole chagadya. Why does Hekdesh approve of this? If you tell me the Eved's starving, we have no choice, what are we going to do? The guy's going to starve to death. But if he's doing well and he wants those extra pieces of cake at night, so let him do without it. So we'll label it Hekdesh. Let Hekdesh say to this Eved, Ad hash to saglach lo'adofa. Until now, you were doing just fine. You were okay not eating the extra treats. Hash to namitis lo'adofa. So why should we play a game with you and let you take advantage of us to give you the extra treats? The Gemara Hekdesh Gufei Michalei Kihechi Delishvach Avdei. Hekdesh likes the deal. You know why? Hekdesh wants the Eved to be happy. Why does Hekdesh want this psychologically? Hekdesh wants is ever to produce, because any money that this ever is going to make is going to go back to the base of Hekdesh. So Hekdesh begins with the treasures. Hekdesh makes a simple calculation. If this ever is going to be kvetchy, he's going to be coming home every night from work and think he's hungry and he's looking for an ash. And we're going to tell him, nope, sorry, you're on a diet, no food. He's going to be cranky. He's going to go to sleep miserable. He's going to wake up the next day, not want to work so well. He says, but we tell him, sure, no problem. Go treat yourself to ice cream at night, have you. Go out to the fancy restaurant tonight. So that's going to be good for Hekdesh as well. Hekdesh good for Nichalei, because that will make the Eved a little bit higher commodity and be able to produce a little bit better. So the bottom line is the Rav gave us this funny solution to the problem. We have an Eved Kenani. Anything that he produces is automatically Hekdesh. So we tell him, don't work. Borrow money. Eat. Have dinner. Have your treats. Have your ice cream at night. And then go to work and pay back for the money that you borrow. Every drop that he works becomes kadosh. So how do we solve the problem? The minute that he goes to work, the first dollar that he makes goes straight to the base of Mikdash. How is he ever going to pay back the loan? The pachos pachos pruta. So we set up the following payment schedule. He doesn't get paid every month. He gets paid every pruta. So we make a deal that the minute that he does a little bit less than a pruta, two-thirds of a pruta, so the less than a pruta doesn't become hektish. So he gets paid half a penny at a time. So that half a penny goes right back to pay back his chov. Now the person who lent him $100 gets paid back by half pruta. I'm not sure how happy he is about the picture. But the bottom line is that's the only way to solve the problem. It says the Gemara, even though we had to do a little bit of work on the statement of the Rav, our suggestion that we are dealing with a case where the master is actually feeding the Eved is correct. Hokidam Mistava, the Gemara says, this is in fact the correct shot. The Yom Rav, Hamakdishite Avdo, Oso Eved, Oso Ve'Ochel. Because there was another statement of Rav that says that if you makdish the work, the hands of the Eved, so then you don't have to worry about it. That it's not hektish. The whole thing is doesn't work. The Elo Avdaman Palachlei. Because Rav said, if you don't let him work, who's going to feed him? Who's going to work? Who's going to support him? So the other statement of Rav is clearly saying the master cannot be makdish the hands of the Eved. So Iyam is Bishlama. If you say that Hach b'Mala ve'ino Yochol v'Habish ino Mala Shapir, so there are two statements of Rav. One statement of Rav said that a master can be makdish the hands of the Eved, and the other said that he can't. So how do you resolve that contradiction? Very, very simple. One's talking about when the master is supporting the Eved, therefore he's still the rightful owner of his work. The other's talking about where he's not supporting the Eved, where he doesn't own the work. But if you can tell me that the first statement of Rav that said that he can be makdish the hands of the Eved is talking about where he's not even supporting him, and he's allowed to tell the Eved, I own you anyway, the ilo of the man palochle, what kind of svar was that the Eved's hungry, no one's supporting him? What does that have to do with anything? If it belongs to Hekdesh, it belongs to Hekdesh. Allah Shmamina Eino Yachol Shmamina. So the only way to resolve the two statements of Rav is that a master does not have full authority over the hands of his Eved. A master is only entitled to the proceeds of the Eved if he supports the Eved. He has no right in the Mamonis to make such a statement that you work for me and I'm not going to support you. And therefore, if the master is yes supporting the Eved, then he can be makdish the hands of the Eved. If the master is not supporting the hands, is not supporting the Eved, he cannot be makdish the hands of the Eved. The bottom line is you can't be makdish what you don't own. So you can only makdish something that you have rights to. So we've supposedly solved the problem right now. We've come to the conclusion that at least according to Rav, a master cannot be unfair to the Eved and tell him work and go support yourself. Toshma, even though Rav said that, not everyone agrees. The Amr B'Yochanan, Hakoteh Yad Avdo Shechaveiro. If somebody damages their Eved's hands, he goes ahead and he takes Reuben's Eved and he beats him up and he cuts off his hand. So no sin shifts over for Wasser Rabo. So the payment for the loss of work goes to the master because the master is the one who's suffering the loss. And the refuah, the medical bills go to the master because the master is going to have to help heal this person. The also Eved needs them in that tzedakah. And this Eved is going to have to be fed from tzedakah. What are we going to do? So the master here is walking away with all the money. The master is getting the proceeds. He's getting the loss of work, which is the equivalent of the salary of the Eved, and he's not supporting the Eved. You see that Rabbi Yochanan said, here the master is walking away with the money and telling the other, go collect tzedakah funds. I'm not going to feed you. So it sounds like a master does have the right to say that. Yes, it says the Gemara, no. It's talking about that the master is supporting him. That's the only reason why he gets the shevis, why he gets the loss of work. So then why do we say that the Eved has to go collect tzedakah? He has a source of income, the master supporting him. When we say that the Eved has to collect tzedakah, that's for the ice cream at night. That's for the milkshake at night. He wants little treats above and beyond that he has to go collect on his own. The word nizon means food. The word mispanis means all other needs. So if we say that nizon and tzedakah, that means the Eved is starving. Nobody's supporting the Eved. The master walked away with all the money, and nobody's supporting the Eved. Allah Shmamina, we derive from here, Yachol Shmamina, that inachinami, that the master can make such a statement. It seems to be unfair, but in terms of pure dinimaminus, the master has the right to make such a statement. But when all the dust settles, what is the answer to our question? Can a master say to an Eved, Asei'imi v'yeni zoncha? It's a machlekes Rav and Rabbi Yechon. That's the bottom line. As we started the shift by saying, the Rambam highlights that this is a terrible thing to do. The Rambam says, if a person does such a thing, he's not acting in the footsteps of Amar Avinu. He's not a Rachman, not someone who's compassion. Of course, if a person has an Amikanani, he has to take good care of him, he has to feed him well, he can benefit from his work. That's okay, that's what it ever means. But in terms of thinking that it's the nice, right thing to do, it's not the nice, not the right thing to do. So sometimes there is a difference in halacha between one's absolute rights that Didi Mamanus are, and Lamaisa, what a person is supposed to act. The Gemara just puts the final touches on this discussion. So Ammar knows in shift of loss of the rabbi that the loss of work, because the person got his arm cut off, so that loss of work goes to the master, and the medical payments go to the master as well. Shift of pshita, of course the master gets the loss of work. He's the one who doesn't have an eved working anymore. The rufu also, it's the richalei. The chiddush is that the master gets all the medical bills. Why are we giving the master the medical bills? Give the money to the Eved. Let the Eved heal himself. What happened was we made a certain assessment how much medical bills are. We based on our evaluation, it sounds like we're going to give him 5 days worth of whatever medication that he needs. And then he got healed a little bit quicker. He got healed in 3 days. So mal d'tei tzar d'deyu. So yes, it's true that the stronger medicine worked, but the Eved had to suffer because it was a little bit more painful. So the bottom line is that it's the master's advantage. Whatever money the Eved brings in, but he made money based on his, he got a better insurance payment from the insurance company. Whatever money comes in from to this Eved is going directly to the master. Whether or not the Adam can then hold back food, so that was much like this Rabbi Rabbi Yechon. So the bottom line, at least at this point, we came to the conclusion of this part of the sugya. Hopefully we'll show in the next year. So we'll try to continue on. The Gemara put some final touches on this Mishnah about the relation between the other and the Eved, particularly as it relates to food, and how it hopefully goes back to our Mishnah in terms of being in this first big influence.